We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I was out there in the newsroom talking to Kevin Killeen, and all of a sudden, Dave Klein sprints toward the door to indicate that I'm on the air. And sometimes he texts me, so I'm looking at my phone. It says, coming back, which means, you know, we're coming back on the air. And then I think you sent me like a little I love you graphic or something like that.
It's some weird little...
Am I supposed to take it? Well, I don't know.
I don't know what this is.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, Dave.
And there's so many features of the iPhone that I still don't know, even when it comes to texting.
Too. So what happened is you sent me basically a picture that has some of those weird images in it. And let's see if I open it, what happens?
This looks like an image from The Ring on my phone.
It just looks like a circle.
Right.
And I can do it in different colors. It's actually kind of fun, Dave. Thanks for sending that to me.
I don't know what it is.
It says digital touch, and there's a heart there. That's why I thought maybe you were trying to say that
you love me. So I sent you a heart accidentally?
I think you did. I don't know that it was accidental. I'm just going to, you know... I'm going to go with that, but thank you for doing that.
Well, you're welcome.
We are back here this afternoon, and I do want to get a little bit to the interview that was on the Today Show this morning with the student from Covington Catholic, because I think that that's still an important story that people are talking about here, and I wanted to hear what he had to say. And it's interesting because Nathan Phillips, the Native American, not Vietnam vet, it was originally reported that he was a Vietnam vet. He was, I think, a Marine, but he was not in Vietnam. Still thinks, I think, and a lot of people, I've seen some columns in the Washington Post, shocking, and elsewhere, that are still targeting these kids from Covington Catholic in Kentucky. They think that they're still at fault somehow for the way that they treated Nathan Phillips, even though, and I think in 90% of the columns that I've read about this, where people are still criticizing the kids, you're finding omissions of the, what I... always forgets the Black Hebrew Israelite group or whatever that were taunting these kids. You know, Black Hebrew Israelites, you know, ethnic, racial, anti-gay slurs, calling them school shooters and kids of incest, all that thing. You know, we had Matt Walsh on the show yesterday. He said, you know, he called out people that were doing that, saying that's stupid. But he said that the real villain of the story is Nathan Phillips, Native American elder. Let's review how courageous this hero is, this advocate of peace and unity. Phillips inserted himself into a tense situation where children were being taunted and mocked by grown men, which is true. Phillips, rather than coming to the defense of the kids, instead invaded their space and began playing his drum in their faces. Immediately after the incident, in which he had involved himself by his own volition, he ran to the media and blatantly lied about the kids. He said they surrounded him and they wouldn't let him leave. Video evidence proves this to be a lie. He says that they chanted, "Build that wall." I watched the video. Doesn't say that. So here's the student this morning on the Today Show.
As far as standing there, I had every right to do so. My position is that I was not disrespectful to Mr. Phillips. I respect him. I'd like to talk to him. I mean, in hindsight, I wish we could have walked away and avoided the whole thing. But I can't say that I'm sorry for listening to him and standing there.
Yeah, and I think that he was, and he says this, he was trying to do the same thing. What about the Hebrew Israelites and all their taunts?
They started shouting a bunch of, you know, homophobic, racist, derogatory comments at us.
What kinds of things did you hear them say?
I heard them call us incest kids, bigots, racists. They called us
a bunch of incest babies, a bunch of child molesting.
Did you feel threatened at all?
I definitely felt threatened.
There were more of you than them, but you felt like they were stronger?
They were a group of adults, and I wasn't sure what was going to happen next.
I'm glad that they played the audio in there, because we played this yesterday, and I had a little bit of it on Monday, too, but people need to hear what they were shouting.
Let's make America great again! A bunch of child molesting
Yeah, child molesting, you know what, starts with an F, then they go after the students more.
See how you got these pompous bastards come down here in the middle of a Native rally with their dirty ass hat on?
And then there was a black adult that they targeted.
You got all these dirty ass crackers behind you with a red Make America Great hat again on, and your coon ass, you want to fight your brother.
Yeah, and then the incest babies comment.
A bunch of incest babies. A bunch of babies made out of incest.
And then they're going to be school shooters.
This is a bunch of future school shooters.
That's right.
That's right. I love that guy. That's right. They're white Catholic kids, so they're school shooters. So Nick Sandman talked about this on the Today Show as well.
In hindsight, I wish we had just found another spot to wait for our buses. But at the time, being positive seemed better than letting them slander us with all of these things. So I wish we could have walked away.
Did anyone shout any insults back or any racial slurs back at the group?
We're a Catholic school, and it's not tolerated. They don't tolerate racism, and none of my classmates are racist people.
Did anyone say, build the wall?
I never heard anyone say, build the wall, and I don't think I've seen it in any videos.
No, I haven't seen it in any videos, so if they have it, if there's been a claim that that's happened, Nathan Phillips has made that claim, where is it? Because there's a 90-minute video of all of this, and he admitted in this interview that he was confused about, you know, when Phillips kind of goes into the drum mode and starts entering the kids, he didn't know what was going on.
At first, we were unsure of whether he was trying to join in and drum to our chants or what he was doing.
Did you feel like he was trying to get somewhere else, to go toward the Lincoln Memorial?
I'm not sure where he wanted to go. And if he wanted to walk past me, I would have let him go.
In that moment, he's looking at you, you're looking at him. What's going through your mind?
I wanted the situation to die down, and I just wish he would have walked away, but I knew as long as I kept my composure and didn't do anything that he might perceive as aggressive or elevation of the conflict, that it would hopefully die.
Why didn't you walk away?
Well, now I wish I would have walked away. I didn't want to be disrespectful to Mr. Phillips and walk away if he was trying to talk to me, but I was surrounded by a lot of people I didn't know that had their phones out, had cameras, and I didn't want to bump into anyone or seem like I was trying to do something.
You know, this is a pretty respectful kid, and he's just explaining what happened, none of which has been discredited, because everything that he said is actually documented in that video. On the other hand, Mr. Phillips, some of the claims that he's made have been completely false, fake news. So a lot of focus, and one of the reasons I think this blew up on the internet, on Twitter, the way that it did, is because, you know, that you're not, if you're a white kid, you're already got marks against you, right? You're not, if you're a Catholic white kid, that's two strikes. If you're a smirking Catholic white kid, that's three strikes.
I see it as a smile, saying that this is the best you're going to get out of me. You won't get any further reaction of aggression, and I'm willing to stand here as long as you want to hit this drum in my face.
What some people see is a young kid with a smirk on his face.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say for people who see that and are making a judgment about who you are?
Well, people have judged me based off one expression, which I wasn't smirking, but people have assumed that's what I have. And they've gone from there to titling me and labeling me as a racist person, someone that's disrespectful to adults, which they've had to assume so many things to get there without consulting anyone that can give them the opposite story.
Now, he still says, and I'm going to get, I think if you're going to listen to what Mr. Phillips says, you can sort of compare and contrast here with the tone and the nature of the comments. But he has said from the beginning, Mr. Sandman did, that he'd like to meet with Phillips.
I have the utmost respect for Mr. Phillips. It's another person that freely use his First Amendment right. And I want to thank him for his military service as well. And I'd certainly like to speak with him.
Okay. Now, he originally said that he would do that. But ever since then, and keep in mind, this is the guy responsible for this hysteria, Mr. Phillips, because he did go to the media. The thing blows up. They finally realize much of what was assumed was not true. But he's called these kids a lynch mob. He's called them beasts. He's referred to them as beastly and scary. He's accused them of looking for their pound of flesh. These are kids and families that are getting death threats. They can't even go to school. So I think it's pretty respectful of this kid to say, yeah, you know, I'd still like to meet with him. So here's what he has to say. Here's Nathan Phillips.
At the end of the Indigenous Peoples March, we had already been encountered with the Black Israelites. They showed up around 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon while we were still in our process of our rally on the steps. And they were hurling all kinds of insults and abuses at us, the Indigenous people. But what I seen was in one of the videos is that one of the Indigenous peoples did go up to them, visit with them, and then turn around and walk away. And then when the youth that were, you know, done with the march, the protest that they were at, started coming through to go meet their bus, encountered the same Black Israelites and took a different route. And instead of responding to hate with love, they responded hate with hate.
Absolutely, completely BS, fake. Nothing that he said there can be documented because it's not true. But he gets away with that and is never challenged on that. Talking about the Black Israelites.
We thought there at the march that the best thing to do was to ignore the Black Israelites the best we could and to pray for them for their actions there on the mall. We really didn't understand that with their presence there and harassing us, but we just went ahead on with our rally.
All right, so keep in mind, when you listen to Nathan Phillips describe the Black Israelites and the kids, he feels, you can just hear this, that he thinks that these kids are bigger problems than these Black Israelites shouting about incest babies and calling a Black student at the school the same word that Kevin Steincross slipped on and didn't even say last week. But all these things, and they're avowed racists who have assaulted kids and adults in that group. Catholic, even I think there was a Catholic priest in there. Doesn't matter. Nathan Phillips is going to take the side of the Black Israelites.
Then things started escalating between the Black Israelites and the youth. The youth kept on encountering them, going away and coming back and encountering them again.
Not true. Not true at all.
And each time they came back with larger numbers until where it shows, where the video is, where there's, you know, close to 200 of those young youth out there. And they got into a mob mentality.
Yeah, those white kids.
That's what a lot of other people have described it as.
If you watch the video, the group was pretty much the same. I mean, they started drift. What do kids do when you see something like this? You drift over, you kind of see what's going on. So Nathan Phillips, why did you intervene?
When it got to about 200 youth and the screaming and the hollerings, and the images were the same images that I seen in pictures of youth, young white people surrounding a Black youth trying to eat at a counter. The same faces that were on the crowds of those youth at the D.C. was the same faces of the youth that were surrounding the young Black woman who was trying to get an education.
Think about the description that he's offering here and comparing these white kids from Covington Catholic in Kentucky. Again, he even said at one point, I don't think I have the soundbite, where he says, yeah, you know, the Black Israelites were saying some harsh things, but some of it was true. What was true? Which part of it was true? They called Nathan Phillips' group totem pole worshipers. They called people, I can't even say the word. I'd be careful. I got to be careful about words these days. One of the words that was bleeped earlier. So that was okay, but he saw the real danger in these white high school kids from Kentucky.
And the scorns and the scowls that they were on the pictures there, the same pictures of when you see pictures of lynchings, the same faces on the folks that were doing the lynchings. That's what these young people's faces looked like. They were angry. They were... They got to a point where it was scary.
Nathan Phillips is a despicable human being and a bully. And Matt Walsh wrote about this because he won't be. See, this is the thing. He's Native American. You can't challenge him on any of that. You can't call him out for being the idiot that he is. Anyone that has seen the video and heard the description that he just offered, and most people haven't watched the video and taken time because it's like an hour and a half, would know that that's complete BS. And now you still have columnists from the Washington Post, the New York Times, and elsewhere, liberal columnists defending him and criticizing the kids who are getting death threats. It's an upside down.
You've heard the news. Now have your say with Mark Reardon on KMOX.
Is St. Louis a little in jeopardy here when it comes to the awarding of an MLS franchise? We're going to get the very latest here coming up at the bottom of the hour from Mr. Soccer himself, Bill McDerby, coming up at 3:35. Before I let go of the whole story with the Covington Catholic kids, let me play this because Whoopi and Joy and the gang from The View, which is my go-to source for political news, were discussing this. And I think there's a rare moment of honesty here from Joy Behar when she explains to Whoopi's question why things like this keep happening.
Now, the school kids were blamed for being the aggressors, but then the extended footage was released that showed a group of black Israelites mocking the kids and the Native American. So many people admitted they made snap judgments before these other facts came in. But is it that we just instantly say that's what it is based on what we see in that moment and then have to walk stuff back when it turns out we're wrong? Why is that? Why do we keep making the same mistake?
Because we're desperate to get Trump out of office.
That's why. Not everybody, though.
Yeah, that's, well, you know, she's being honest about that. I think that is exactly why. Now, she goes on to explain it just a little bit, but that's why everyone jumps on these things, because they are desperate to get Trump out of office. And that's the motivation. I think it's also why many of the people who realize that they made a mistake, they don't care. They don't care that they made a mistake because it's bring him down at all costs.
What does that have to do?
I think that's the reason. I think the press jumps the gun a lot because we have so much circumstantial evidence against this guy that we basically are hoping that, you know, Cohen's got the goods and what have you. But, and so it's wishful thinking.
Yeah, it's wishful thinking on the unbiased media, right? See, there's proof right there. Joy Behar knows how biased the media is. She knows all these people. She's friends with them. Anybody who's honest knows how biased the media is. And, you know, there's countless examples. We saw three of them last weekend alone. And we'll continue to have examples of this. A couple other things I wanted to touch on here. You know, and I had not, this may be one of those undercover stories here because of the situation with the government shutdown and Michael Cohen and all that. If you're not caught up on that, Michael Cohen's not going to testify before Congress because he feels like he is being threatened by Rudy Giuliani and the president. And by the way, let's see, I think I have a little bit more on that. Might not have that. All right, we'll check on that in a second. But the story in Phoenix, where they've now found or charged this guy, the 36-year-old nurse, Nathan Sutherland, arrested of one count of sexual assault and one count of vulnerable adult abuse. You would think that some of these charges could be a little bit higher. That was the case of the patient who was raped and gave birth at this facility in Phoenix. And I have some audio about that. First of all, here's the judge setting bail for this guy.
Mr. Sutherland, the court, based on everything I have reviewed and what I've heard this morning, the court is going to order a cash-only bond of $500,000 with electronic monitoring.
You would hope so. This is the police spokesman in Phoenix, Tommy Thompson, not to be confused with the former governor of Wisconsin, former HUD. Maybe it is the same guy. Former HUD, no, it's not, but... Boy, I had a lot of fun with Tommy Thompson. He was governor of Wisconsin. Here's Tommy Thompson in Phoenix.
He was an LPN, a licensed practical nurse, and he was responsible for providing care. During the period when we believe this incident occurred, the sexual assault occurred, we believe that he was the LPN, at least part of the time, responsible for her care.
He had some details here.
Detectives authored and served search warrants to obtain records to identify individuals who may have had access to the victim in this case. In addition, detectives authored court orders to obtain DNA evidence from numerous individuals. One of the samples obtained through a court order was from 36-year-old Nathaniel Sutherland. Sutherland was a licensed practical nurse, or an LPN, who was responsible for providing care to the victim during the time this sexual assault occurred. Yesterday, the scientists in the Phoenix...
Whoop, that just kind of cut off, and I'm not sure why that did that. But look, the bottom line is they had a court order to submit DNA. He did that. I guess he had to do it because of the court order, but he was caught. The other thing I think is important to... here again, when the media doesn't get it right, this hurts everyone's credibility. So you have this victim who's been in long-term care since she was 3 years old and gave birth on December 29th. People who worked there said she had no idea she was pregnant, and the woman's mother was required to submit an annual report to the court that included the results of a medical exam. So remember when this first broke a few weeks ago, she was described as someone, and I don't know if this really makes a big difference in the whole scheme of things when it comes to what this guy was charged with or the despicable nature of his crime. But I do think it's important that people understand the facts here. She was being described as being comatose or in a vegetative state. That's not exactly true. In fact, it was her parents that released a statement yesterday that disputed that. They described her as intellectually disabled because of seizures in early childhood. She does not speak. She does have mobility in her limbs, her head and neck. She also responds to sound and can make facial gestures. Now, again, I don't know, that shouldn't matter if this was not, you know, non-consensual, which I'm pretty sure that you could prove that it is. I am a little confused, and maybe some people have heard some descriptions of why, in fact, this is a case that's being referred to in just a couple of charges. I mean, one count of sexual assault, one count of vulnerable adult abuse. Maybe I meant to look into this. Why isn't it rape? Why isn't it something along those lines? Maybe they can ramp up the charges if they know more information, or they're just going with something they can prove. Because, whoop, that was the wrong sound effect for that when I have the match game theme. That was a piece of paper that hit that. But I guess my point is the prosecutors are going to move forward with charges that they think that they can actually prove in court. So we'll keep you posted on that. And it's at least good news that someone's in custody. It's 3:30 at KMOX. We'll come back with more, get an update on the soccer situation, whether or not the MLS franchise is in jeopardy here in St. Louis with another player, another city out there competing. Oh, I cannot wait for baseball. I'm not just trying to write off the whole season of the Blues, but I think that a lot of us, just speaking for, should I say most, and a healthy majority, we're ready for baseball. Kind of excited that spring training is going to get underway. But let's talk soccer here. Story in our local paper this morning. New competition for St. Louis in bid for MSL. MLS. MSL. Is it? It's Wednesday, isn't it? It's not Monday. On Tuesday, Sacramento seems to have jumped back into the pack of frontrunners when the mayor, Daryl Steinberg, announced billionaire Ron Burkle agreed to buy controlling interest in Sacramento Republic FC. This is according to the Sacramento Bee. His net worth is $2 billion by Forbes magazine. That's immoral, according to AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. We can work politics into sports anytime as well. He owns the Pittsburgh Penguins. He's tried to buy NBA's franchises, including the Sacramento Kings. So he's a player there. Does that affect us or not? I don't know. But let's ask Bill McDermott, who can set us straight this afternoon, Mr. Soccer himself. Bill, how are you?
Hi, Mark. How you been?
I'm good. Let me tell you, though, just on a soccer note, was over at Veta last night with my little girl who started some indoor soccer. She did some outdoor stuff at soccer park last year, and I actually think that helped. She was so all over the place, was not listening to her coaches, was just having a good time. Now, granted, she's a 3-year-old kid, but last night, she was dialed in and well on her way to a professional career, I think.
Oh, a college scholarship, then on to the United States women's national team.
I'll just say this out loud, and I still will write a letter. For those people, if anyone knows the folks that run Veta, the coach that my daughter has, her name is Sydney, Coach Sydney, and it was easy to remember because I have a niece named Sydney. She was just fantastic with these kids. So for the Veta folks listening, to give her a raise, and I think they have other good coaches too, but I think that makes a difference, right?
It does, your daughter's ability clearly stems from her father's dead ball ability.
All right. All right, McDermott, enough of that. Let's move on there. So should we be worried about this whole thing with Sacramento or not?
Well, with reference to Sacramento, they've always been a contender, Mark. As a matter of fact, before St. Louis, they have a downtown stadium plan going over the old rail yard site. They have support from the local group. They have a very successful USL team, but they didn't have a deep-pocketed lead investor. They do indeed have that. Does that put St. Louis's efforts in peril? Of course not. It just ups the competition. Now, Sacramento, Phoenix, St. Louis, those look to be, again, it's not definite, Mark, because the league plays us very close to the vest. They don't say who has the lead looking for our team number 28. But these are all logical, legitimate contenders with all the boxes checked with, however, St. Louis really, really having the advantage on box number three, and that is an existing soccer culture. The Sacramento Republic won USL in 2014. Prior to that, they've had the Sacramento Knights, the Sacramento Surge, indoor teams. Phoenix, they haven't had anything of real consequence other than the Phoenix Rising, and they've just become really visible because of the appearance of the Ivorian Didier Drogba. But St. Louis's soccer culture, which is one of the main ingredients required by the league, goes back to 1875. So Sacramento getting Ron Burkle, yes, that ups the competition. But St. Louis is ready and willing to take on all comers when it comes to what you have to do to become an expansion team in Major League Soccer.
Do we have any indication of a timetable whatsoever here? And what we okay? Not even hints or anything.
Well, the hint has been, emphasis on hint and rumor, that a decision would be made by spring. Excuse me, by the first quarter of this year. And for all intents and purposes, Mark, for all these teams that I've just mentioned, they all have to build new venues, new soccer-specific stadiums. So consequently, if you get the go-ahead in spring of 2019, maybe to start building till summer of 2019, it takes you 2 years to build a soccer-specific stadium, and you'd have to be ready to go by spring of 2022. But the league, again, ever since this expansion craze started, way back when the league was just very young, the expansion craze started, and it's really been going crazy as of late. The league and Don Garber in particular has never been really outward or public with any kind of any degree of saying when there's going to be a decision made for team number 28. So I'd like to be able to give you an answer, and I know St. Louisans would like to know what's going on, get a feel for what's going on. But the league has not voiced anything in that capacity.
So I wish I wasn't like this, Bill, but I am a glass half empty type of guy. Okay, I wish I wasn't. Really, it's just the way that I'm built. So I'm not very optimistic on a lot of things. I bring it up from this perspective because look, I'm not saying we're not going to get this. I think we're still in competition. But man, we've gotten our hopes up so much here. I just hope we're not, you know, getting ready for another big bubble to burst.
Well, Mark, with reference to that, I concur with that. And one thing people are always asking, they ask me, they ask various sources, what can St. Louisans do to get the attention of Major League Soccer? Because believe me, now that there are three, Sacramento, Phoenix, and St. Louis, three real viable contenders, Detroit maybe still a little bit, but what you have to do, it's just about mandatory now that St. Louis continues to draw well, and as a matter of fact, sells out home games at Worldwide Technology Soccer Park, first of which is March 9th. It's a 1 o'clock game. St. Louis FC has gone out of the way to accommodate fans in early March by having the games during the day, so it may be not so bitter cold. So
yeah, it's going to be a little chilly, though.
Saturday, March 9th, 1 o'clock. It is imperative. It's just about mandatory that St. Louis FC sells out their first home game, their home opener this year, because I assure you, Mark, Sacramento and Phoenix will do so. They have done so consistently in the years past. So for St. Louisans to really get on board here to support this MLS effort, you have to go out to Worldwide Technology Soccer Park to watch St. Louis FC.
Well, I think that if we are reminded of that, and I'm certain that you will drop some hints and others will as well, if we can remind folks of that closer to that game, I have no doubt that we can sell that thing out, right?
For sure, Mark. The team averaged 42-71 last year. Now, Sacramento has a much larger venue. They averaged 11,311. They were second only to Cincinnati. Cincinnati was the story in soccer in the United States the last two, 3 years, Mark. They averaged 25,000 717 in USL competition. Consequently, they're rewarded. They get an MLS franchise. They'll begin play in MLS this year. So the league is indeed watching for games like March 9th, and in particular for the women's national team exhibition game against New Zealand.
Right.
Later,
yeah,
in May at Bush Stadium.
Awesome.
It has to be a big crowd for that as well.
All right, Bill McDermott, Mr. Soccer, thanks for the update. We'll keep fingers crossed, and we'll keep us posted. I mean, if you want to noodle on an idea to put me on goal on March 9th just for those guys to take shots at my head, that might sell some tickets too.
Okay. Indeed it would, I assure you.
All right, take care. See you, Bill McDermott. I want to I wanted to talk about the cell phone ban idea today, but I'm going to have to shelf that for tomorrow. But this story, and we're trying to get a hold of this guy, okay? Jake Talbot, if you're listening out there. This is from Channel 4 at KMOV.com. A man says that he was asked not to wear a shirt supporting President Trump at a gym that he attends in Troy, Missouri. Staff Sergeant Jake Talbot says he's worn the shirt to CDY Fitness in Troy many times before. This happened on Sunday, and it's a 2016. It's just a T-shirt that says Trump for President. The owner of the gym asked him not to wear the shirt again, saying it was offensive to others. And I'll read you what she said on Facebook here in just a second. His comment is, I was just puzzled. She said it was racist and represents racism, and that's when I was like, oh, you're done. The owner, Liz, came up to me and said the Trump shirt hand on was offensive and I needed to remove it in order to work out there. What, how bizarre is that? And that it is linked to racism. I hate the word. It's used way too loosely. It's 2019. Get the hell over it. It's not racism, Talbot said. Lynette Petruska. I think I've had Lynette on the air. I think she's a labor attorney, says the gym's owner was well within her legal bounds to ask Talbot to take the shirt off. That's surprising to me, but she would know the law. I'm not a lawyer. Seems weird that you can just go up to someone and say, hey, that shirt is offensive. I'm not saying it's a free speech case or anything like that, but it does seem odd. Does that mean that any business owner, maybe they can, maybe the answer to this is they can. If you're walking throughout their business, if it's a private business, they can say, we don't like your shirt because of your politics. Here's what she said on Facebook on the gym's page here. Let's make sure we name the gym here. CDY Fitness in Troy. Troy, Missouri. Isn't like 90% of Troy, Missouri Trump supporters, wouldn't you think? I don't know. Making an assumption. I am deeply saddened by the amount of hate this event has garnered. I will personally and publicly continue to defend my stance for tolerance, huh? And against hate, no matter the financial consequence. This is what I love about people like this. They're proclaiming their love of tolerance and, you know, to be against hate. Allow me to clarify. I don't believe our gym should be a political forum for anyone. I want everyone to feel safe and comfortable there. We're all trying to improve ourselves and work hard to change. So this guy endangered the folks who were working out there, I suppose. Gym owner, again, you get a story like this every single day. The world has gone crazy. 3:45. We have an audio cut of the day coming up. I wish that, you know, my producers are not surprised by this, but I cannot tell you how many times I have a story that's in front of me and then I'm planning on talking about it and I look and, Dave, I think you stole it. You knew what I was going to do. No, it's probably right in front of me, but I can pull it up online. This was a story before we get to cut of the day that a little confusing to me, but let me run you through it here. Christine Byers at the Post wrote about it here. Officers wanted to question Christopher Miles and a friend after allegedly seeing them flaunt handguns. See what I did there? I said, I saw the word flaunt and the word see, and I said fleeing, right? That's offensive. Is that offensive to fleas? God, I hope not. Flaunt handguns in a video on social media, but that wasn't reason enough to chase them in their 2016 chase until their car collided with another in a fiery crash that killed both men and seriously injured another motorist, according to a lawsuit. So basically, you got this guy who's 23 years old. He's in the Chevrolet Impala, this Christopher Miles guy. And the police had been looking for a car. They saw four armed people that were known to be armed and dangerous with a history of dangerous felony activity. And they put out a video, I guess, on social media. And that was several days before the crash. So they sent an alert out. The car has a Georgia license plate, names, photos of the suspects. Same thing they do with a lot of cases. So an officer sees the car near Ventura and Bella Claire and Jennings, and they get back up, and then Darnell Brown, who's the driver of the car, doesn't use a turn signal, and they go on a chase pursuit. It's a high-speed pursuit. There's a crash. They hit this truck. It's a fiery crash. People died, right? So now the family, Elon Miles, Christopher Miles' mother, has filed a suit. Her attorney, James Cantillon, quoted in this story alleging that the suit alleges, this is what it says, that the pursuit did not follow department policy, which forbids pursuits unless police believe a violent felony has occurred. The pursuing officers, Keith Dibble and Andrew Husky, treated the case as if it were an emergency when it was not. So you got these guys that are hauling guns all over the place, and they're clearly dangerous criminals, but you can't go after them because they're not dangerous enough, and now there's a lawsuit.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
And it is sponsored by the Good Feet Store, pain relief and comfort to fit any budget. Let me play this because I think it's an important message, and maybe it ties in a little bit with what we just had here about the crash, because Brett Baer was involved in a crash after he got back from a ski trip or was leaving a ski trip, and here's what he said on Fox last night.
Finally tonight, I don't usually give advice, but I think everyone should count your blessings. My family is tonight. My wife Amy and sons Paul and Daniel went skiing in Montana this weekend. We had a fantastic trip. It was a lot of fun, gorgeous snow, a lot of quality family time, some safe, fun skiing without incident, which is always nice. I drove the family Monday morning to the airport in Bozeman, and it was snowing and the roads were icy. And approaching an intersection just 2 miles from the airport, I hit a big patch of ice and I could not stop our SUV. We slid into the intersection of a busy road and into the path of a big pickup truck, which slammed into our driver's side door. The airbags deployed, the windows shattered. We careened into a ditch and flipped sideways. And I started to try to push open the passenger door to get us out. Then a man held open the door so we could climb out. Zach Black was driving by. He just stopped to help us. We climbed out. The driver of the pickup truck, David, had called the police and the EMS and was concerned about our family first and foremost. Montana Highway Patrol quickly arrived. EMS paramedics from Belgrade and Bozeman arrived quickly too. And we escaped with minor injuries, a concussion, 14 stitches on a chin, a jostled tooth, and a sprained ankle. We are very blessed. Thank you, Zach Black, and for all the Zachs across the country who stopped. Thank you, David. Thank you, Montana Highway Patrol and EMS personnel, who were all amazing. As we were released from the hospital, I tweeted this. Don't take anything for granted. Every day is a blessing. Family is everything. It's always good to remind yourself of that before something does it for you. Count your blessings.
That's an emotional Brett Baer last night and a hell of a story. And I like that Jack Black was involved. Oh, wait, it was Zach Black, wasn't it?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.